For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, welcome to our Pesach class, Tavshin Nun Ches, 5758. First thing we're going to talk about here is the idea of Pesach and its connection to Shavuos, and of course the Sefiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer in between that time. A couple things I want to mention here. Number one, in the Haggadah, as you know, we go through 15 various inyonim, 15 steps, if you will, right? And we start with Kaddish. We start with Kaddish, and then we do Urchatz. We wash. Now, the truth is, that's really backwards, it's not the right order of what we usually do the rest of the year. In other words, the usual order for things, symbolically and physically as well, is Urchatz first. First you wash, you get clean, you, so to speak, sur mera, you go away, you cleanse yourself from your evil past, so to speak, you go away from the evil past, and then Kaddish. And then you try to sanctify yourself. Tonight, on Pesach, seems like we do the opposite. Kaddish, Urchatz. So that's number one. And we're going to elaborate why this is in connection with the idea that Pesach is called a Shabbos. For example, it says, I believe in Parsha Semor, Usparsim Lachem Mimachoras HaShabbos, you should start counting, in other words, the counting of the Sefiras HaOmer, from after the Shabbos. Which really, it's not talking about Shabbos, it's talking about Pesach. But Pesach is called Shabbos. So, again, question number one, why on Pesach is the order reversed, Kaddish or Chatz? Number two, what is the idea of Pesach being called Shabbos? Okay? Another question we'd like to know is that Pesach seems to be a special time to recite Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, which, of course, as we know, is a love song between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. Between Hashem and the Jewish people, right? Why is it dafka on Pesach that we recite Shir HaShirim? Okay, that's question number three. Question number four is, which we've discussed about in the past, is that we have a phrase that's told to Yaakov Avinu from Hashem, V'anoichi alecha v'gam ale. I will take you out of Egypt. V'gam ale seems to be adding something else, because it means the same thing. I'm going to take you up out of Egypt, v'gam ale, and I'll also take you out. So we said at that time, in that part, that it means just like I'll take you out of Mitzrayim, I'll take you out of that first exile, right? The ultimate exile. As we know, Mitzrayim is inclusive of all Dalet Goliuses. All the four exiles were encompassed within Mitzrayim. Had we, in fact, stayed there the prescribed time that we were supposed to stay there, real 400 years without any of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's mercy and calculating it differently, then we would never have needed another exile. We've been completely cleansed. The idea of Mitzrayim be a kur habarzel, a cleansing furnace, which we hope to talk about, it's Hashem, later in the shir. Okay, so again, we want to know where are we here? Yeah, Anochi Alecha v'gam Aleh. Okay, so we said, Anochi Aleh take out Mitzrayim, v'gam Aleh refers to the final geula that Hashem will take us out also. But it's going to be connected here, okay, as well. Then the question number five is the minhag, the custom that we have of putting an impression of a key on the challah after Shabbos. Putting an impression of the key on the challah on the Shabbos after Pesach. There's such a custom. Okay, so again, five questions. The order is reversed on Pesach, Kaddish or Chatz, right? Number two, why is Pesach referred to as Shabbos? Number three, what is the special connection of reading the custom to read Shir HaShirim on Pesach? Question number four, what is the meaning of Anochi Aleh Alecha, the Gam Aleh? What's the Gam Aleh? Okay, even though we gave one explanation to it. And question number five, what is the idea behind the key, the impression of the key on the challah, on the Shabbos after Pesach? So, these ideas are expressed by Or Gedaliah Rav Gedaliah Shor, and he explains this from a pasuk that we have in the Torah, and that I believe we repeat in the Haggadah, and that is the whole name of Pesach. Where does the name of Pesach derive from? Right? It's one of the few translations in English that happens to be correct. Passover. HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over our homes during the last plague, the death of the firstborn, spared our firstborn, right? And he killed the Egyptian's firstborn. So that is expressed in the Torah with the phrase, U'pasach Hashem al ha-Pesach. That Hashem, right, skipped over, passed over the opening of the doors of our dwellings, okay? That's how it's expressed in the Torah. Now, that really is the key and the answer to all our five questions here. But to elaborate on this further and to explain this, there is an idea Kabbalistically that's written about this idea of an awakening from below before there can be an awakening of above. A Sarusa de la Sasa and a Sarusa de la Maila. Well, the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to first take the initial step, however small that step might be, to try to sanctify ourselves, to try to go closer to Him, and then He is mashlim it. He finishes it off. Okay? So this is expressed by the Medrash in Shir HaShirim that says, famous Medrash, you might have heard of it, Bitzchuli Pesach Shel Machas, open me the opening the size of an eye of a needle, very small opening, and in return, Vani Eftech Lecha Pesach Ke'ulam. And in return, I will open for you the opening like a great hallway. That's the idea. We make a small opening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finishes it off. That is the idea. Okay? So, you might have noticed the same wording here. Pesach, opening, and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pasach Hashem ala Pesach, He skipped over our houses, true, but here it means, what Rav Shor wants to say is it means Hashem skipped over that Pesach that we're supposed to make, that initial awakening of below on our part. In other words, they're urchatz, the rest of the year, right? First, we're supposed to do urchatz, we're supposed to cleanse ourselves, and then kaddish, sanctify ourselves. And Pesach, the orders reverse. Hashem, Pesach Hashem, Allah, HaPesach, Hashem skipped over the Pesach. That what Pesach? The Pischuli Pesach Shel Machas. Hashem skipped over the fact that we have to make an initial opening. No, there's an exception on Pesach. Hashem says, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to sanctify you artificially without you working on it. And therefore, it's the order in the Pesach Haggadah, the Seder, is Kadesh. I'm going to sanctify you. And then Urchatz. And then you cleanse yourselves. Which means the initial hisoiris, the initial awakening, is not incumbent upon us, like usually, that we have to make that opening of the eye of the needle. Hashem skips over that. Okay? This time Hashem says, I'll give it to you straight for me. Kaddish. You'll go right, I'll sanctify you, right? But then, Taka, it's not enough. He expects us to do the urchatz. Okay? Now, the idea is, why did Hashem do this? Because Pesach is the Yontav of Ava. It is the Yontav of Hashem's pure love for Bnei Israel. We really didn't deserve to be redeemed, even though we'll try to discuss a few merits we have, but basically we were on the Mem Tesh Shari Tuma. We're on the 49th level of impurity. Right? As a matter of fact, the angels tied it to Hashem when we were crossing the sea, right? Elu Avodizara, Velu Avodizara. The Egyptians were survivors, and so do the Israelis. You know, so the Jewish people. Why are you saving one and killing the other? Hashem had to answer them. Okay? So, the idea is, and we know four-fifths, as a matter of fact, four-fifths died. For Hashem took us out strictly because we were bonim. We're not in the category of an eved. An eved, a servant, like, yep, Hashem sees if you're worthy. Bonim, you're children. You're a son of Hashem. It doesn't matter. Okay? But you're children of God, bonim Hashem lokechem, that Hashem, doesn't matter, you're my child, no matter how much you misbehave, I love you. Okay, so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch, with this tremendous love, he skips over that initial awakening that we usually have to make, and Hashem gives us an artificial sanctification, and we go from the 49th level of impurity to Kriyas Yamsuf, right? 7 days later, we go to the 49th level of Kedusha. You know, we go to the 49th level of prophecy. This is an artificial spirituality Hashem sort of gave to us. But then what happens? After this initial pull, Hashem removes it. And then comes those 49 days of the counting of the Omer from Pesach to Shavuos. There's really only 43 left from the time of the Kriyas Yamsuf, right? 7 days have passed. And we're supposed to get it, the Urchatz part. Now we're supposed to cleanse ourselves on our own and get back there. Okay? So, this is expressed. So, okay, now we're answering our questions. And we had 5 questions initially. Okay, so now we understand why in Pesach the Seder is reversed. Kadesh Urchatz. First Hashem sanctifies us. Then, so to speak, removes us. And the Urchatz comes during the 49 days. We have to earn it on our own. We have to get back to that level of Kaddish Hashem gave us. Okay, and that's Taka. Why? Question number 2. Why, in fact, we read Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, the love song between us and Hashem on Pesach? Because this is the Yom Tov of Ava. As it says in Shir HaShirim, Machsheni, I'll draw you, I'll pull you. First Hashem makes the initial pull, and then afterwards, V'acharecha Narutza. Afterwards, we will go after you. You hear? That refers to the 43 days left in the Sphira. After Hashem draws us artificially to Him, we're supposed to run after Him. So I heard Him say, Taka, He says, Narutza. He says, alright, Narutza means to run after Him, but it has a word in there, Ratzon. He says the same letters. He wants to say, the idea is that we have to draw our Ratzon, our will, to do what Hashem artificially showed us, the Kedusha as an inspiration, which we didn't earn on our own, right? Hashem gave to us strictly because of His Ava for us, His love for us. Okay? So that's the idea. That another idea, he says, Upasach Hashem ala Pesach. Again, going back to that verse, Hashem skipped over the opening, right? So it says, even if there's no opening in us, Hashem will make one. A Pesach, Hashem will open. Upasach Hashem ala Pesach. Hashem will open the opening. Then you got a heart of stone. And Pesach is a special time. You got to make it yourself. You got to prepare yourself. Special time, Hashem will open up your heart to feel something. So that's the idea here. Okay, now, we have a third question. Why is Pesach called Shabbos? So the truth is, every other Yom Tov, Israel, B'nai Yisrael, Jewish people have the ability to bring the Kedusha. Not Shabbos. Shabbos is like, it's a Kavias, Kayemas, it's there. From the 6 days of creation, right? Shabbos is strictly from Hashem. As it says, Matana Toiva Yeshli, I have a very precious gift, Shabbos Shema, name is Shabbos, I want to give it to you. It's a gift from Hashem. It requires no part on our own. We just walk into it like a mikvah. You know, Shabbos is a 26-hour mikvah. Okay? So that, according to what we're saying now, that's the same thing with Pesach. Pesach is an exceptional Yom Tov. Hashem gives us Kedusha like He does on Shabbos without any working on it or being deservant of ourselves. Right? Hashem just gives it to us. So that pasuk that we said when it talks about the spirit of Omer, I think it's in Emor, Uspartim lachem imachras haShabbos, you shall count for yourself after the Shabbos. That really refers to Pesach, we said. Pesach is called Shabbos there. This is why it's called Shabbos. It has, one of the reasons at least, it has the same bechina of Shabbos, the same idea of giving. Hashem gives us a spiritual level without us working on it on our own. As opposed to other Yom Tovs that we really have to work it on our own. course. Then comes the Sphira. With the Sphira, we're supposed to, each individual has to do his own individual avodah, his own individual work of the Sphira Salimer to get there. Now, question number four. When Hashem said to Yaakov Avinu, Anochi Alecha, I will take you out of Egypt, Begam Aleh, we said refers to the final Gula, I'll take you out of Egypt, and the final Golas, right? But the Gam is Gematria, numerical value 43. In other words, I'll take you up, Gam, the 43 days left in the Omer from the splitting of the sea, right? There's 43 days left after Pesach, 43 days left of the Omer, right? That I expect you to do the Aliyah. Anochi Alecha, I'll take you out, I'll rise you up, artificially, right? That's the Kadesh. But now, Gam, in the 43 days left in the Omer, Aleh, you gotta do the rising. You hear? Says Tak, in the 7 days of Pesach, give the Kayach, give the ability of the 7 weeks. Each day of Pesach gives the Kayach, the power of one of the weeks of the Omer. 7 weeks of the Omer, to the sphere of the Omer, right? 7 days of Pesach, according to the Torah, we do an extra day in Golos. Okay, so each day of Pesach gives a Kayach to one of the weeks of the Sphira. So now, question number five. Okay, we got Kaddish or Chatz. We answered that question, right? Let's review it again. Kaddish or Chatz, we do on Pesach. It's Kaddish first. Hashem artificially sanctifies us, right? And then Urchatz. Then we have to cleanse ourselves on our own, right? Why? Because that answers question number two, because it's a holiday of pure love from Hashem. And that's why we read Shira Shirim. Question number three, that's why Pesach is called Shabbos. Shabbos is that same Bechina that we're given artificial spirituality. I say artificial, meaning that we don't work on it ourselves, a pure gift from Hashem. Question number four, Gam Allah, that refers to our Avodah. To the Urchatz part, right? And now question number five, the minhag that states in Tamei Minhagim, there's a minhag to put an impression of a key on the challah, on the Shabbos, after Pesach. Such a minhag, okay? So, now the vort is, according to everything we've been saying, the key is now in our hands. That's what it's saying. Up to now, Hashem was opening up, making the openings, right? Now, the Shabbos after Pesach, right? 43 days left in the Omer, right? The Hashem turns over the key to us. Now, we have to make the opening, right? With the Mafteach. And it's interesting, Challah is numerical value 43, which is the days we said left in the Sphira after Pesach. Okay, so those are some ideas. Okay, to finish this off, then, these last 43 days of the Sphira, we connect it to Shavuos. Now, there is something to the mazolus, you know, what is it called? The mazolus is a horoscope. They call it, you know, that's false what they have, the horoscope. But these signs, you know, on the different months of the Jewish year, they have signs like Adar's fish, right? So, comes Shavuos, you know, what they call Gemini, it's twins. That month that Shavuos lands in Sivan is twins. And the idea is that now it's a match. Hashem on Pesach gave an artificial spirituality, right? Then, so to speak, takes it away. We have to work on our own during the 49 days of the Sphira. Comes Sivan, Shavuos, and we got twins, Gemini, right? That horoscope, that mazel, because now it's matching. Our own avoda got, you know, on our own, what Hashem gave us. It's a match. That's the idea. So the thing that we're supposed to take out of this, one of the things at least, is that there's times that a person gets tremendous geschmack, whatever, laying tefillin, or from a Shabbos, right? Whatever it is, especially when you're coming to Baal Tshuva, you feel certain things, right? So a person has to remember that really is, again, a Kodesh Baruch Hu skipping over the Pesach. He's skipping over that opening that we're supposed to make. He's given it a free gift to us, an inspiration, if you will. And it's not always going to be there. Hashem's going to take it away, and then we're going to have to start to earn it on our own. And this is the avoda of life in serving Hashem. Not to let things get old, davening every day, doing the mitzvahs every day, saying brachas every day. At the beginning, you find a real geschmack in it, right? That's that kaddish that Hashem always gives us. The sanctification. Then he expects us, urchatz, to sanctify ourselves, if you will, to cleanse ourselves. Okay? The idea is that Hashem gives us to see what we are capable of doing, and that's Pesach. Hashem gives us an artificial spirituality level. This is what you're capable of. Now I'm going to take it away from you, my kinder, and you got to earn it on your own. Okay, so Elaine had a good question. And so we're talking about 49th level of impurity, right? So how much lower must we be now? The truth is, I think we're on Nun. I think we're on the 50th level, which is supposed to be no return. But the idea I think I read is, before the giving of the Torah, that's it. If we hit 50, we're goners. And that's what happened to 4/5 that died in the plague of darkness. But since Mount Sinai, given the Torah, we have an insulation. By the way, that's one reason to say that the exile of Egypt was the worst, right? Because we didn't have the fortification of Har Sinai, of the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. Yeah, all the goluses that have been so rough on us, we've had this inner fortification. You know, we don't understand what that means. We have to realize all neshamas there are Har Sinai, and we heard Hashem himself say, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm the Lord your God." That went into the Jewish psyche, into the Jewish neshama. Right? And gives us a sort of strength to withstand the pressures of the Golus, whether it's physical persecution or assimilation, which is going to be a big theme today, Yitzhak Hashem. Okay, but Mitzrayim, that Golus, we didn't have the fortification of Torah yet. So that made it very, very rough. Okay, speaking of that, let me tell you a couple more things here. And that is, we talked about now how we spent the whole time in Egypt, we never needed another Golus, because that is a cleansing furnace, whatever it is. We need this cleansing. We don't understand how that works. We'll see it later, how in retrospect the Golus cleansed us. But the idea of a cleansing furnace and that the Golus is good for us is reflected in the idea that you might have heard this, that on Tish B'Av, Noilan HaMashiach, that on Tish B'Av, which is the ultimate day of Golus, the destruction of the temples, right? Also Spanish Inquisition and the Holocaust, everything happened, right? Started with the sin of the spies in the desert, right? So it says on that very day, Mashiach was born. Which means right there in the midst of the worst Soros is the spark of redemption. The seed of redemption is right there. Okay? So this theme is expressed on Pesach. How is it expressed on Pesach? Well, you know, we have this thing called one of the Siddurim, one of these 15 steps, and Pesach is Korach, which is taking matzah and maror together and eating them together. That's what we do. What's the idea? We know what matzah represents. That's a dual aspect, but for right now, matzah represents freedom. Okay, maror represents the slavery. It was bitter, right? That's what the word mar means. So, says the Sfas Emes, we eat them together. This represents the very idea we're talking about, that the Golus is a Kor Barzel, it's a cleansing furnace. The bitter times, the persecution that we've gone through, acts as an atonement for our sins. It purifies us, it sensitizes us, whatever it is. All too often, when we have it too good, we go away from Hashem. We appreciate our Yiddishkeit when it's taken away from us. I mean, that's just a tip of the iceberg I'm saying here. But when you're in the Golus, you don't see that it's good. You never go up to somebody while they're suffering a sorrow and say, you know, this is really good. You'll see later. You know, they just broke up with their spouse or something, a chalila. Okay, right? Or they're going through some illness. You'll see later. You'll appreciate your health. You can't relate to it while you're going through it. You don't tell someone that, right? It's only afterwards, right? So that's, by the way, that answers a different question. If you think about it, it says, whoever doesn't say these three things hasn't fulfilled his obligation, right? What is it? Pesach, Matzah, and Moror. L'chor, the order is reversed. That's not the right order. Pesach, the Korban Pesach, Matzah, that we ate, came out of Egypt, and Moror. What's the first thing we had? The first thing we had was the Moror, the slavery, right? It should be Moror, Matzah, Pesach. Same idea. The truth is, you don't appreciate what the maror was, how it helped you, how the persecution, the bitterness helped you until there's already a Pesach. Right? After you're redeemed, then you can look back and see how that source was for your ultimate benefit. But while you're going through it, you can't appreciate it. Right? That's why it has to be first Pesach, you know, matzah. Then Maror. Now I can see the Maror in the proper perspective. Okay, that's the idea here. It's kind of like we said before, it's like a needle point. If you look at the underside of a needle point, you see a bunch of threads. Some are gnarled, some are short, some seem long. And they have no rhyme or reason, no order, no form to it, right? Everyone's going a different way, right? So the problem is that we look at life from the underside of the needle point. We look at it maror as we're going through it, right? We have questions. Why does Hashem allow this? And why does this string end so shortly? And why is this gnarled, right? And why does this one continue? Why is this one straight? But if a person looks at the other side, after the source, he looks back in retrospect, he looks at the other side of the needle point, then he sees there was a method, there was a pattern, it was a beautiful tapestry. And these things along the way, the other side of the needle point, were necessary to make the beautiful needle point and tapestry that it is. But while you're going through it, you don't see that. So there's a story told about a chassid. Whenever he had source, he used to go to his Rebbe, right? And he asked his Rebbe to mispalo for him, to daven for him, to take the tzoros away. And so it happened every time the Rebbe would pray for him and he'd take the tzoros away. So happened, of course, one year the Rebbe passed away. So what did this the chassid do? You know, so he used to go to the kever, he used to go to the grave site, and he asked his Rebbe to be a melech yeshua. You don't pray to the grave, but you can ask to be like, intervene for me. To take my tzoros away. You know, I used to come to you when I was alive. Now you're gone. Ask for me your merit that the tzoros be taken away. And this time nothing happened. The tzoros weren't taken away. The chassid was left with the tzoros. So he was very distressed. That night the Rebbe came to him in a dream. And he explained to him, I know you're distressed. I know you're disappointed. And, you know, you still have your tzoros. He says, let me explain to you. I'll tell you why nothing happened. When I was with you in this world, you know, Olam Hazeh, and you used to come to me for your tzoros, I used to think taka, there were tzoros. There's mamish tzoros. I used to pray for you that taka, these tzoros should be taken away. They were gevaltik yisurim, right? So, and they were removed from you. But you know, now that I'm in the Olam Ha'emes, now that I'm in the world of truth, and I see everything from the true perspective in totality, I have a different perspective on your tzoros. On a person's afflictions. And now I see that what human beings perceive as tzoros are not necessarily tzoros. So that's why I didn't pray for you. It's the best thing for you. You need that. You hear? That's the idea. So on Pesach, says the Chiddush Yerim, we eat matzah and maror together to symbolize this. Matzah, the freedom, the good times. Maror, the bitter times. They're one in the same. We make a sandwich out of them. They're part. The maror, the bitter times, the afflictions, the troubles we went through, is part of the geula, the redemption process. Individually and as a nation, those things that we went through, adversity, you know, let's say, builds character. You go through hard times, it makes you stronger. Right? It gives you the right perspective. A person can go drunk in this world. When I say I mean, if he has only good times, he sometimes doesn't really lock into what this life is about. You understand? Sometimes tzoros talk, besides the atonement process, besides that we make mistakes, and besides the fact that we usually cause our own tzoros, and besides the fact that they're not really tzoros, they turn out for the benefit. Our benefit. But taka, let's say they are tzoros. It gives us a right perspective that this world is temporary. I'm really living for the next world. I try to have a good world here. But the point is, you look at things from the standpoint of spirituality and eternity. And you don't get lost in this world. A person who goes around with life with no tzoros, by and large, it's the worst thing in the world for them. They get into the olam hazeh, to the good times of this life. And just go from one party to the next, one vacation, never stops and think, I'm having too much of a good time. A person has Yisurim, pogroms, you stop to think, you pray to Hashem, you get a stronger connection to God. You turn to Him more, through those very tzoros. You get a strong connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea here. Okay? So, again, so that's what the Chiddush Yerim says, Sfas Emes, he says, this is why we have matzah and maror together. This is related to the verse, Anochi haster aster, I'll surely hide my face. In the troubled times, though, in the Golus, you have to see the Anoichi. Hashem's in a place, you have to see Him in those times, even though it's hard to do. But again, while a person's going through, he doesn't see it. In retrospect, after it's over, he does. Question. That leads us to Shvi Shel Pesach. The last day of Pesach, we sing Az Yashir. And if you remember, we've discussed this before, Az Yashir is a song. A song. And we said Yashir from the word Yashar, it makes the heart straight. Right? You see everything straight. A song means you see everything straight. You sing. Everything was for the good. Again, we said it before, but Az Yashir, the greatness of that song of the sea was which was a simultaneous prophecy that everybody bursted out in song with not just on the redemption, not just on the redemption, but on the Golus in Egypt. They saw that the afflictions in Egypt in itself was good. And they gave song for that. A song means everything is in total harmony. Everything fits. Right? So that was the greatness. Again, this idea of Matzah and Morah together. That when it was all said and done, while they were going through it, they couldn't see it. But when it was finished, and the splitting of the sea, that was the final thing. The Egyptians were drowned. Then they saw that the afflictions and the Golus and the Maror of Egypt was also good. It was also part and parcel of the Geula. And therefore they sang a song on the totality of things. Let's turn over. That's why it says, as Moshe Rabbeinu did understand this, he says, Uma'az bati leparo. So the time I came to Paro, you made it evil for these people. And Moshe said, I'm going to rectify it. I sinned with you with the word Az. That word, since the time I came to Paro. Now Az Yashir. Now I'm going to rectify it. I see what I thought was so bad those last 6 months. Even Moshe Rabbeinu questioned Hashem, right? Babies being substituted for bricks. How can that possibly be good? Right? So now Moshe Rabbeinu sees in retrospect those wicked people. Hashem was doing a weeding process, whatever it was. And now Moshe Rabbeinu saying he corrected his sin, quote-unquote, Ma'az Batsi Lepal, with the same word, Az Yashir. Now I see in totality it was all for the best. And that's why it says, the ultimate song will be at the end of days. V'sham Nashir Shir Chadash. We'll sing a new song. The ultimate song of the 10 songs, the last one will be at the end of days, because that will be the ultimate praise of Hashem, seeing everything in our long history as all the important parcel of this final redemption. It was all for our benefit. And we discussed this many times, but that's the idea. And Mitzrayim, Az Yashir, Az is in future tense. We sang Az Yashir, we will sing again, is a microcosm. It's a sneak preview of what's going to happen at the end of days. Just like everything that happened in Egypt ended up for our benefit. We came out of there, we got the Rechush Gadol, the great wealth of Mount Sinai, and physical wealth, right? Which was minor compared to the Torah. Same thing at the end of the days. End of days, it's all going to be rectified. Hashem's going to take care of everything. So that's what Pesach is. Right? We said the 3 regalim are a glimpse. They kind of, the light of those festivals give us a koyach of having these rabbinical holidays, these great rabbinical holidays, right? Shavuos, its counterpart is Purim. Okay? Right? And the counterpart of Sukkot is Hanukkah. What about the counterpart of Pesach? That's going to be in the future. That will be the ultimate holiday. So this is a time you've got to lock into it. See all the events in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. This is what's going to happen again. It's going to happen again at the end of days. Okay? But Seva Todah, he compares this, Eliyahu Kitov, Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov, says, Imalayu Yisrael Meshubadim, Lo Zachal Yos Bnei Chayrim Le'olam. If we were not enslaved in Egypt, we would never have been truly free. It's an amazing statement. Evidently, we needed that enslavement, that subjugation in Egypt to really become free. We've got to discuss what free is, the essence of freedom, right? Freedom is not being a slave, right, to the culture and value of the times, right? We need a Yetzias Mitzrayim in every generation. We need to go out of our own little Egypt. The influence of our times, the values, the culture. We were steeped in Egypt, right? In the 49th level of Tuma, Egypt, which is called Ervas Haaretz, the nakedness of the land. Inyan, it says, Znus HaSeichel, the prostitution of the mind. That's what Egypt was. That's what every exile is, right? Prostitution of the mind. That's what we have today, liberals, right? That's the exile we have to take, the mitzvah we have to take out of us today. Those things that they tell us what a good person is, what it is to be humanitarian, right? Every generation has their definition. The Germans were tremendously animal activists. They had tremendous rachmanis on that. One of the first laws they passed was there couldn't be dancing bears. The gypsies used to have these dancing bears. Cruel! They're tremendous cruel. They care more about bears than they did about human beings. Right? So that's the idea of a golus. Okay, and that's the idea of being a b'nei chorim. A b'nei chorim is to be free, truly free, not to be meshubad, not to be subjugated, not just physically enslaved, but you're mentally enslaved by the times. You know, you can't get rid of that TV. You can't get rid of baseball. You know, you can't stop going to movies. Right? All these things. You gotta really be free. On Pesach we have a unique opportunity. This hashpah comes down to mamish free us. And freedom means not to be meshubad, not to be subject, to be enslaved to anything else. Rak l'malchus shamayim, just to Hashem. That's geula. To be a pure servant to Hashem, to do His mitzvahs, right? That's why it's called Zman Chirusenu. It's the time of our freedom. That's the time Pesach gives us. We have to lock into it. It's a special time, a special assistance we're given, right? To come out of our Mitzrayim, the assimilation of the culture, the current Mitzrayim. That's why, and we talked about this before, it's called Yitzias Min Mitzrayim, right? Instead of Yitziat Mitzrayim, right? Excuse me, I'm sorry, let's try it again. It should be called Yitziat Min Mitzrayim. It should be called going out of Egypt. But we call it Yitziat Mitzrayim, which means taking the Egypt out of us. Taking, right, the America out of us, the Golus out of us. That's the special time that Pesach gives us, right? The special time, right, you understand? That Yitzias Mitzrayim, it took Hashem like that to take us out of Egypt. And then it took 40 years in the desert to take the Egypt out of the Jew. To take the Jew out of Egypt was simple. Take the America out of the Jew, take the Egypt out of the Jew, that's a tough process, you understand? As a matter of fact, it says at the end of days, in Chesed, it says, at the end of days, Ki yemei tseischa me'eretz Mitzrayim er'enu niflos. Like the taken out of Egypt, I will show you great wonders. This is in Micha, the prophet Micha, chapter 7, verse 11, right? So it's interesting when you think about the great miracles of going out of Egypt. The one that the biggest miracle, of course, is splitting of the sea. And a tremendous amount. The God talks about it. If there was 10 miracles in Egypt, there was 50 at the sea. If there was 50 in Egypt, there was 250 at the sea. So it should say, you would think, says Rav Shmuel Mahalber, he says, it should say, Ki yemei kriyas yam sefer enin aflois. Like the splitting of the sea, I'll show you wonders like that. It doesn't say that. It says like taking you out of Egypt. The same idea, even though kriyas yam sef was the greatest miracle there was, right? But the miracle of taking us out of Egypt, it says that Hashem lakachas goy mekirav goy. He took a nation mekirav from within the midst of another nation. Meaning we were so assimilated. We're mamish, like taking an organ out of the body, right? So therefore, even though Kriyas Yamzev is the greatest miracle, there's even a greater miracle. Taking the Jew out of Egypt. Ki emei seischa me'eretz Mitzrayim. I'll show you wonders like that. Taking it out of the assimilation, even though Pashtus, splitting of the sea was the greatest miracle, but a greater miracle is getting us out of the assimilation, taking us out to really have the tshuka to be yidden, to do his mitzvahs, and not to want to assimilate into the culture. Right? And that's what it says. Ki kal yoiser kav yachol ikros sayam. It's easier for Hashem, so to speak, to split the sea than to take Egypt, than to take the Jew out of the exile. That's a very hard thing. So Hashem's going to take us by the hand. You see, again, once again, four fifths did not make it. Okay, it says very good what you're saying. Shina Kodesh Baruch, Kodesh Baruch changed the teva, the nature of things. Even Hashem doesn't like to do that because it can diminish the free will aspect, right? But Hashem did this one time in Mitzrayim, right? And it's as an edus, as a testimony that Hashem created the world and He is in control of it, and He'll change the nature of things, and for the sake of His children Israel. In other words, to show His great love for Israel and His hashgacha pratis, His divine supervision, one time in the inception of our history, our nationhood, Hashem did normally what He does not like to do, mess around with His set nature, right? And He turned everything, He could have taken this out in a natural way, right? Could have been a rebellion. Whatever it is, we were more than the Egyptians probably. Well, we could have outnumbered them. When it says that no slave ever escaped, it means not so much they had a great border control, but no one wanted to escape. Egypt was the height of civilization, of culture. That's what it means. That's one of the deep meanings here. Again, the idea of our assimilation was so great there. But again, Hashem did this once. He changed around nature and everything, created these miracles and these plagues, right? To show that He is tremendous love for us, and He'll change His world for His children Israel. Going back on this idea, we didn't finish the thought, Sefer Todah, Le'al Kitav, he says that the Shibud, the slave in Egypt, was also part of the process of the redemption. He says he compares it to Akedas Yitzchak. What happened to Akedas Yitzchak? It looked like the whole seed of Avram is going to be destroyed, the whole nation of Israel is going to be destroyed, right? And yet what happened? From that Akedah, it became the Machelis, the Chol HaDeiros. It became the merit that saves us throughout all the generations. It saves the Jewish people. Look like the end of the Jewish people. Just from that will become the salvation of the Jewish people. That merit of Akedas Yitzchak saves us all the time, okay? So that's the same way he says about every affliction and every source that we go through, right? That Hashem, it's Sar Hilo Yaakov Meni Yivashaya, from the source Hashem brings the Yeshua. Says the Kenag Ula Asira, so it was going to be at the final redemption, right? It's going to be, we're going to see, because we're in such darkness, the light is going to be that much brighter for us. We'll appreciate it. And it'll come, Dafka, at a time where we'll give up all hope. That's when it'll come. We'll completely give up. It'll be so bad. Right? And all of a sudden, the glory of Hashem will rise like the sun. And Masai, when will this happen? The Chodesh Nisan. It'll happen during this month of Nisan, which is more Nisim. Right? Miracles. It will happen this month in Nisa, Shekabu Hashem, Lig'ol, L'chol Adoris. This is the time that Hashem set for Geula, for all the generations. And every darkness and every source, Shaneers L'Yisrael, that has happened to Israel, the Chodesh Hazeh, in this month, it's known that it will be the Reishis Smichas HaGeula. It will be the budding, the blossoming of the redemption. Just like a seed first disintegrates into the ground. It looks terrible. It's completely destroyed. And then from it, what do we always say? Matzmiach Yeshua. It, from there, blossoms. It comes forth a bud, a redemption. So that's what it is. Just when it seems so bad, okay? By the way, Nisan, we've talked about this before, is the head of the months of the Jewish year, not Tishrei. And it's called Aviv, the spring, which is Av Yud Beis, the father of the 12 months. It's a play on words there, okay? No, so another idea is Yitzias Mitzrayim, going out of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the word straits, confines, right? This is the idea from now on, as always, that we go out of Teva. Mitzrayim is a symbol of nature, set. They really, you know, they prayed to the horoscope, all these things, and we left that and became directly under the control of Hashgacha Pratis, Hashem's divine supervision. And under Hashem's divine supervision, these ideas that we're talking about, all the tzoras by Hashem, He can take them, right, and make from the bitter sweet. Cast the bitter limb into the bitter waters, and Hashem can make it sweet. That's representative of everything in Golas. Hashem can turn it around. That's being under Hashem's direct personal supervision. Okay. truth is, it says, Kolamarbe, whoever speaks more about the coming out of Egypt, the story is Meshubach, is praiseworthy. Truth is, a person is supposed to also relate any personal miracles in his present life. I mean, any of us who are in here trying to observe Yiddishkeit is a miracle. That's the truth is. It's much a miracle that we've had, you know, Yitzias Mitzrayim. We haven't gotten influenced by the culture. So, all nisim, all miracles have their root source for the community and the individual, right? All have their root source in the miracles of Egypt. So, part of this being praiseworthy and telling over the story of Egypt is relating also your personal miracles. Also, by the way, this night we have a Seder, right? A Seder means an order. And it's also a special time that HaKadosh Baruch gives us a special influence of the time and help that we have the ability to put everything in a set order for the entire year, which means a person has to know their priorities. What's important, what's not important, and what's to be devoted more energies to, and less energies to. I guess I don't need to elaborate. As I've said so many times. Okay. Now, again, there's a pasuk. We're talking about this assimilation, which is a big theme on Pesach, right? So you should know the fact of this maror. Let's go back to the maror. If you think about it, on Pesach night, you're celebrating freedom, right? You're celebrating freedom. And yet, you eat maror, which is slavery. How does that fit in? Okay, so one of the ideas here is, as the Chiddush Arim, is the very fact that you feel that the golus is bitter, it's maror, right? That in itself means that the redemption has started for you. Once you feel that you're distanced from Hashem, you don't feel the Torah and mitzvahs like you should be, while you don't find the geshmak, it's all part of the golus. That you feel it's bitter in golus. That you don't enjoy the golus. You feel you're missing. That is part of the freedom process. That is part of the geula process. And therefore, on this night of Pesach, right, we're celebrating freedom, you eat maror. Because the fact that you felt it was bitter, that's a celebration. Okay? And that's what it says. I took you out, tachas asher lakachuscham tachat sivlos Mitzrayim, because I took you out of the sivlos Mitzrayim. I took you out of being able to tolerate Mitzrayim. You finally cried out that you can't tolerate being in exile. And again, what that means when we say you can't tolerate being in exile, it means that you can't tolerate what it means to be in exile, which basically means the distance of Hashem, not to be able to serve Him properly, not to feel a Shabbos, not to feel the mitzvahs, not to feel a davening, not to feel a closeness to Hashem. That's the real exile. When you start to feel that's marred, it's bitter, the geula starts. So, part of all that goes all, how do you do that? Part of all that goes back, the answer is back to Avram, whose promise at the Bris Ben Abzarim, the covenant of the pieces, when he's told that your children will be slaves in a land not there for 40 years, it says, Ger Yezarecha, Ger Yezarecha. Your seed, your children will be strangers in a land not theirs. So many people interpret this as an answer to what we're saying, a command. In other words, the commandment is, Ger Yezarecha. When you're, right, the Eretz Lo Lahem, when you're in a land that's not yours, of course you're a stranger. No, the commandment is to remember and keep in mind, have the mental outlook that I'm not home. I'm a stranger in a land that's not mine. When I'm not in Israel, right, being run by Torah, I have a stranger relationship. In other words, don't assimilate. That's the answer. Find the maror. Don't get too comfortable here. Again, this idea, what persecutions or yisurin sometimes are for our benefit. We start to realize that this is not home. We don't get too complacent, too settled here, and in life in general. If we always have a good, we think this is the greatest thing in the world. You have a few yisurin, you realize this is not what life is about. It's just a prosdor. It's just a, you know, antechamber to the next world. All these things, Yisurin, can be a tremendous benefit to us. Give us a proper perspective on Golus and Olam Hazeh as compared to Olam Haba. Okay? So, ger yezarecha b'le'eretz lo le'em. When you violate this, and not consider yourself a ger in the land not yours, the result is anti-Semitism. That's what it says, the Pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech writes, Hashem changed the heart of the Egyptians to hate us. They loved us when we first came down. But we started loving them. We started assimilating. So, Hashem, for our benefit, again, the goal is for our benefit, the affliction is for our benefit, He changed the heart of the Egyptians to hate us, or we would have completely assimilated. We would have completely melted in. That's what it says here. It says, in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, it says, V'yisha'am de ravoseinu v'lanu, and this is what stood for our fathers and us. And then it says, Shelo achad bilvad amad leinu l'chaloseinu. And in every generation, there was someone who come along and try to persecute us and wipe us out. So how does that connect to Hisham Dalav Hosseinu V'lanu? And this made us stand. It gave us a permanence. It kept us in a survival. The fact that every nation and every generation there was an enemy out there trying to wipe us out, that was our survival. That caused our survival. In other words, the Sfasem, according to Zohar, he says, the fact that in Egypt, for example, that we worked so hard that we had no time or energy to socialize with the Egyptians, right? That saved us. The fact that they were trying to wipe us out, Hisha'am Dalav Hosseinu, that's what made us survive, right? Had we not been subject to slavery, we probably would have completely assimilated. That's the idea. So, it's very strange that the very slavery, which took so much of our time and drained our strength, paradoxically, that's what helped us, that's what sustained us, and kept us from completely intermingling with the Egyptians. So, he says here, you never know what's really a gift from heaven. At times, we're given a bitter pill to swallow. The maror again. You gotta chew on the maror. If you swallow the maror, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. You gotta chew on it. You understand? You gotta feel it. You gotta get the message, right? So, the difficult pill, that bitter pill, sometimes we have to swallow, sometimes it's a precautionary mechanism of our ultimate preservation. And nothing preserves us more than anti-Semitism. Don't get me wrong. I'm not wishing for anti-Semitism, right? But sometimes the only way Hashem can keep us from completely assimilating, okay? And part of this enslavement and assimilation is getting too much into the materialistic culture. That's why on Pesach, says the Maral, you know, this freedom of spiritual bondage from enslavement to the materialism, which is what Egypt represented, tremendous materialistic culture, like we have today in America. So for what do? For 8 days, we eat unleavened bread to refresh our psyche and our seder of things, our priorities of life, right? In other words, unleavened bread is the most basic thing you can survive on, right? It doesn't have any taste to it, right? There's nothing in it much. It's not like a nice geschmack challah, right? That idea on Pesach, you're really free. You're really free. Free not only from all these things of paro and everything else, but the paro that gets over today wants you to be enslaved to materialism and to, you know, all these things. Just eat matzah. That's not where I find my life. I find my life in Avodas Hashem. Right? Not always into food and this and that and the good wine and all these things. Just plain unleavened matzah for 8 days. That's the idea. Yeah, this is very good. So if you think about this, this explains why on this night that we're celebrating freedom, it's very ironic. It seems like it's the hardest night of the year. Rav Grossman expounds on this. So this is a night of freedom, and you think about this, a whole week everybody's clean for Pesach, it's mamish, and you stay up late at night, and you gotta eat these tremendous amounts of matzah and maror, and you drink 4 cups of wine, and mamish is a very hard night. It's a very difficult night. So the shot is that we have the wrong taich on what freedom is. Freedom is when you work for yourself. That's the idea. Freedom is when you work for yourself. You don't work for the Yetzer Hara. And paro, which is synonymous with the Yetzer Hara, right? Right, that is what we've been doing all year round. We've been working when we have a good life, whatever all these things that we're doing, we're not really free. We can't have to smoke. I have to have that steak. I can't go a week without meat. Whatever it is, right? I have to have this thing and that thing. All these things that we have to have means we're enslaved. This night of Pesach, we're showing true freedom. How are we showing true freedom? We're showing freedom that we are avodim to Hashem. We're slaves to Hashem. And therefore, Taka, it's a hard night. It's a hard night of mitzvahs. We want to show that we're so free that we try to take on as many mitzvahs as possible on this night. Okay? Because we're working for ourselves. We're going to take this with us. That's true freedom. Okay? So we work hard, but it's for ourselves. And that's why our that's mamash a celebration of emeslah misocheres, what true freedom is. By doing all the mitzvahs possible, therefore, that's why we sing Hallel. And that's why, on this night, when we thank and praise Hashem and Hallel, it seems, what do we thank Hashem for? In the middle of the meal, we break up Hallel in the middle of the meal. You know that? We say half of Hallel, we eat the meal and say the other half. Because the meal is not an interruption. It's no interruption. It's celebrating. The eating, the physicality that we're doing is also a way of serving Hashem. At least that's the way it's supposed to be. So this is a night that we thank and we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for letting us be His slaves, which means being truly free, working for ourselves. Hashem's going to recompense us, right? Just forget, you know, that. The true thing is just being to merit, to have this tremendous merit to be an Eved Hashem, to be a servant Hashem. There is no greater reward than that. But even in a more simple level, actual reward, Hashem will recompense us for all our mitzvahs in the next world. So that's truly freedom. Okay, one more thought on the Maror. Again, Ar Gedaliah says this. He says, when a person's medusha me'oineg, when a person gets involved in the pleasures of this world, who nasim me'od megushim, a person becomes very coarse and grub, very materialistic, megushim, very materialistic. U'be'ez asher ba'is galus ha'shchina, kasha lo lagbiyas ha'atzmo, mekol tanuge ulam hazeh. And then when there's an awakening from above, the divine presence, so to speak, shines on you, a person has a hard time getting himself out of the mud of this world, the pleasures of this world. He's still stuck in the pleasures, he's dulled his spiritual sensitivity. So right, if you're so into, you know, whatever it is, vacations, cars, all these things, it's very hard to feel a Shabbos. It's very hard to feel sitzes to fill in anything else you're doing, right? So that's why he says Maror is sometimes very good for us. So he says, Abba Ba'es Adam Yisroel, when a person has afflictions, right, then he goes after the Shekhinah, right? There's no atheist in a foxhole. A person has a bizarre problem, he turns to Hashem. That's what it means, Yisurin, that Yisurin, Marakim, they cleanse one. They cleanse a person, it gives them the right perspective on life. And he doesn't get lost. Right? And there, when a person is involved in the pleasure of this world, Eino Margish Klalagos, he doesn't feel what he's in Golas. Right? It says, Lachen Rak Ayidei Maror. Therefore, only by way of bitterness, Maror, Hamarir Shalgoas, the bitterness of exile, Hayab Yecholsam Akbias Atzman Karega. Only by that a person can lift himself in a moment's notice and want to leave. Mashiach comes, right? Mashiach comes today and tells us to go to Eretz Yisrael. Those people who are beset by tzoras and troubles and are poor, they'll say, great, let's go. But, you know, the rest of us, I might be doing pretty good here in Atlanta, Georgia. Have a nice job, nice family, nice house. Huh? Gosh, could you come by maybe next spring when I take care of a few items?
This is what happened to you.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. So that's the idea here. So that, he says, that's the Bechina of Matzah. Right? The Matzah, Zeo Gamkin, the Matzah, you know, didn't have time to rise. They left. That's what he already said. You have matzah mar together because ayyadei amaror nachol avola bechina shel matzah. By way of maror, the bitterness, the afflictions, then we can come to freedom of matzah, which we just said. Then we can appreciate. Well, all the pleasure of this world anyways, they say that's represented by the chametz and matzah. Chametz and matzah is basically made of the same material, flour and water. Right? It's just the yeast puffs up the chametz, right? It's basically the same thing. That yeast, the seor, represents the yitzhahora. It puffs up the reality of things. It makes it look, it blows it out of proportion. The yitzhahora takes the desire and makes it bigger than reality. It makes it look like it's the most important thing in the world. That's the matzah and the chametz. That's what it represents here. Paro, again, we said the Yetzer Hara on Pesach, we're trying to squash the drive for materialism and the good life, that the Yetzer Hara blows it up out of proportion. It's the most wonderful thing in the world to go on a vacation to Europe. It's the only thing in the world. It doesn't matter all the kosher food you can eat. If you can't have shrimp, that's the best tasting thing in the world. Whatever it is, that girl I have to have. I mean, it's not allowed. Whatever it is. That's what the Yetzer Hara does. It acts as like yeast on the bread. It puffs things distorts things out of proportion. Another thing about this maror being at the end, the Pesach matzah maror, is because only after we go through a Pesach matzah do we see how bad the maror was. We only will see at time the gula, we'll see the toll that the golus took on us. Right? The maror is the golus. But only, we don't see how it's deadened our spiritual perceptions and appreciation of Torah mitzvahs. It's only with the geula, after the matzah, the Pesach of matzah, do we see how bad the maror was. So partially let's just finish up with this. We have to understand that Pesach is the start, right? It's leading to Shavuos, the counting of the Omer, to get the Torah. Right? That's what it's all about. Pesach, matzah, we get away from the chametz, from the gashmias, from the assimilation. We're supposed to truly be free, right? Not be a slave. A person without Torah in his life, mamish, is bound to the chains of desire, lust, and honors of this world. And that person will never find tranquility or peace of mind, right? Always have this gnawing hunger and emptiness within himself, no matter how much challah, right, chametz, he eats. The idea of Mitzrayim, matzah, the Yitzhak Mitzrayim, a cherus, a freedom, is to lock on what it truly means to be free, and that is to be an Eved Hashem, right? This is the station of freedom we have to take out from here, that the most important thing that we have in our life is Torah and mitzvahs, and we have to free ourselves from the bondage of habit. That's the biggest bondage we have. Habit. We have to redeem ourselves from the servitude of materialism for its own sake and come back to ourselves, return to our essence, return to serving Hashem and to do His will and go back to being B'nai Chorim. This year, maybe Atlanta, Georgia. Next year, Yerushalayim. Chag Kosher V'Sameach.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.